morning, everyone. So I can't believe it's already been 10 weeks since I started our sermon series on the Alliance Core Values. And I'm sad that it's ending today, but I'm excited to start a new series. And it's been interesting being a young pastor, being a young minister. I never had a sermon series, so it's kind of cool accomplishing my first sermon series. And so I'm just grateful I made it this far, and God's got many great things today. But let's pray and go to God in prayer and really think about how God can use us to be his flame, to be his light in our world. So let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father God, we're thankful that you are the light of the world, Lord, that you sent your son, Jesus, to die for us, Lord, that we wouldn't have to live in sin or darkness, Lord, that we have eternal hope. And God, we are that hope on earth, Lord, that you were our hope when you first came 2,000 years ago. But now we're your ambassadors as your disciples to go and reach people who don't know you, Lord. There's plenty of people in our area that don't know you, and not just our area, but Lord, our surrounding context of Pennsylvania, the United States, and the ends of the earth. But Lord, I pray today that as I talk about faith-filled risks, that you would challenge us to take risks, Lord, not stupid risks, but risks that are Christ-centered, that are for your kingdom. And God, I'm grateful for all the missionaries that took the risk and said, Lord, here I am, send me, and I'll go. And God, we've all been called some way or shape or form to serve you. Lord, some vocationally, some as lay ministers or whatever, Lord. But I pray today that we take our calling seriously as ministers. Lord, we're all priests according to your word, Lord. We all have you in us. Therefore, we're made priests of the kingdom. And so, God, I pray today that you'd help us make faith-filled risks for the kingdom. So, usually when you think about risks, you don't usually think about associated with Christianity. So my opening analogy is something that we're familiar with. So football season is coming up. I'm excited. And so more and more by the day, I'm getting used to being a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. So I almost had me convinced. I watched the game Thursday. So many of you you're familiar with Ryan Shazier, the starting linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who suffered a traumatic brain injury as a result of tackling Josh Malone of the Cincinnati Bengals. What seemed like a routine tackle for Shazier ended his playing career and left him paralyzed. Thankfully today, Shazier is able to walk again, but he can no longer play the sport he once loved. Like many people in life, Shazier took a huge risk. By playing a sport where serious injuries can occur, Shazier took that risk because he loved the game of football and wanted the Steelers to have a shot of winning the game in Cincinnati. I mean, sorry, Mom, but the Steelers are probably always going to beat the Bengals, but my mom's a Cincinnati fan. She's from Cincinnati. But anyway. He didn't know that his career would be cut short by a spinal injury when he went to the Monday Night Football game in Cincy back in 2017. Like Shazier, in life we face many risks, like getting laid off, getting into a car accident, or simply passing away. However, we don't need to anticipate risks from happening because this creates fear and doubt in our lives and our abilities, and often creates distrust between God and us. As Christ's disciples, we live a risky life. Take example of the 12 disciples. Each disciple risked their life, their careers, and families to follow Jesus. We know that Matthew was a tax collector. He gave up all he had. He worked for the Roman government, and he was at the top of his class and top of his game, but he said no to all that to follow the Lord. We know that Peter and Andrew were fishermen. They had a decent living, but they gave all that to follow the Lord. We know from history that 11 of the 12 disciples were martyred for their faith. We know that John, the beloved disciple, was the only one not martyred, but he died alone in exile in Patmos. Our own missionaries in the CMA have faced martyrdom as well. Ed and Ruth Thompson from our own denomination risked their lives over 50 years ago serving in the missions field of Vietnam. The Thompsons served faithfully in Vietnam from 1956 to 1968, primarily ministering to the Hmong people, who's a people group in Vietnam, and Ban Mat Thao, Vietnam. On January 31st, 1968, their village was attacked during the Tet Offensive. The Tet Offensive was a surprise attack by the North Vietnamese, the NVA, and the Viet Cong on 100 cities throughout Vietnam, killing many missionaries in the region. Ed and Ruth Thompson, as well as other missionaries in Vietnam at the time, were martyred. And throughout history, they didn't know their life would end in martyrdom. However, it was a risk they took to advance the gospel forward to all nations. So my question is for you today, what is God calling you to risk? Let's ponder that question as we hear from the Lord's word. Today we'll be in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And so I'll give you some time to get there. So again, Ecclesiastes 11, 1 through 6. It's entitled The Uncertainties of Life. Listen to what King Solomon says. Send your grain across the seas, and in time profits will flow back to you. But divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risk might lie ahead. When clouds are heavy, the rains come down. Whether a tree falls north or south, it stays where it falls. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. They watch every cloud, they never harvest. Just as you cannot understand the path of wind or the mystery of a tiny baby growing its mother's womb, so you cannot understand the activity of God who does all things. Plant your seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon. For don't you know you don't know if its profit will come from one activity to another, or maybe both. Let's read that again. Send your grain across the seas, and in time, profits will flow back to you. But divide your investments among your many places. For you do not know what risk might lie ahead. When clouds are heavy, the rains come down. Whether a tree falls north or south, it stays where it falls. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. They watch every cloud, they never harvest. Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind or the mystery of a tiny baby growing in its mother's womb, so you cannot understand the activity of God who does all things. Therefore, plant your seed in the morning and keep busy afternoon. We don't know if a prophet will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. The reading of the word. From our text today, there are four key takeaways that I want you to see. Number one, investing in the kingdom of God is risky, but the potential reward is worth so much more. Again, investing in the kingdom of God is risky, but the potential reward is so much more. The second, do not let fear stop you from taking a risk. And third, by procrastinating and not investing in the kingdom of God, we'll miss out on what God is doing in us and through our world. So the first one is investing in the kingdom of God is risky, but the potential reward is worth so much more. From the text, we see King Solomon say to invest in seven ventures. Actually, he corrects himself and says, yes, eight, because you don't know the disaster that may come upon the land. Now, in context of the passage, the investment King Solomon is referring to can be applied to different scenarios. One example is a farmer diversifying his crop production, or where he plants so that some crop might not be killed in a famine. So many know in biblical days, they didn't have the greatest fashion or fashionable irrigation systems or farming equipment. It was very, very rustic, I guess if there's a better word. But so they didn't have all this fancy stuff like we do. So if you recall back in Elijah's day, there was a famine for about 3 years, 4 years. I might have the years off. But anyway, there's a severe drought. And so, but God provided the rain. But what he's referring to is here, don't just invest your crops or your time in one thing. Put it in many, many areas of life because you never know what God's going to do. So one example is a farmer who diversifies his crops. So some crop might not be killed in a famine. The farmer plants all of his crops in one area and a famine comes, then all of his harvest and his profit is ruined. The same would be for a stockbroker investing in one stock in the stock market, then it crashes and he's left penniless. Though these are real-life examples of risky investments, the Christian faith and reaching the lost is risky as well. We take a huge leap of faith in sharing a life story with people or just ministering to them with the hopes they might be drawn to God. We even take the risk of inviting our neighbors or friends to church with the hopes they might be saved. However, we know at times this can be disappointing because people, for whatever reason, don't choose to follow Christ. However, if we do not make this time to invest in them, share our faith with them, or invite them to church, we might be left wondering, why did I never invite that person to church? I wish I knew that they were saved. By taking this risk, we make an effort to be faithful in what we are called to do, to make disciples and tell the good news of the Lord. I think at times we get caught up with what if they don't make a decision, or the effort is not worth it if we don't see results. The same goes for church growth. Every one of us takes a risk in wanting this church to grow. We put our time and effort in researching new outreach ideas, getting involved in the community, getting ready for new visitors, and drawing younger kids to VBS. But what if we focus on never taking the risk of hopes God will grow our church? We will never grow if we never focus on that. We need to invest in the kingdom of God regardless of the outcome, because you never know what God will do through us and through our church. Perhaps the reason why God allows us to make risks is to show us that we desperately need him. To show us that we need him in all aspects of life and ministry. That if a ministry idea isn't Christ-centered, our church isn't about growth, we need to refocus our priorities. I honestly feel God calling us to take a faith-filled risk this year and sharing the gospel with two people or families and then inviting them to church. This is a huge step of faith, but I believe with the Lord's leading, we can do it. My question is for you, who are you involved right now? Whose life are you involved right now? Sorry. Perhaps God has laid someone or a family on your heart to spend time with them, to share the gospel with them. If so, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid they might think that you're some kind of crazy Christian that, you know, it's judgmental? Or that they'll stop being your friend because of your faith connection to the Lord? Or maybe they see you as some sort of Jesus freak. My question is, friends, what is holding you back? If it's fear, cast that to the Lord because we know that he cares for us. Often our greatest enemy in not sharing the gospel is ourselves. We often get in the way of God wanting to do greater things in us, and we inhibit our own growth. Of course, God doesn't need us to accomplish his will, but he chose us to be part of his redemption plan because he loves us and didn't want us to miss out on the great harvest he has for us. So what is holding you back today from investing in God's kingdom? Others might be unsure if it's worth it or not to invest in the kingdom of God. Today, friends, I hope you leave here knowing that leading just one person to Christ over a lifetime is a great achievement. But what if God is calling us to more than that? I pray this is our desire as a church, not only today, but the rest of our days, long after I'm gone being your pastor. I tend to be here for a long time. I don't know when the Lord will call me home. I don't know when God will call me the next season, but this is a season I'm in, and I'm committed for you guys for a long time. I don't know if it's 10 years, 15 years, but I'm committed to see this church grow, and I believe God called me to be here. So you quote me on that. I'll be here for a long time, but I'm excited. And God's put this sermon series on my heart to grow us and to show us what we're about so we can go forward and reach people. And I took a faith-filled risk coming here. And I gave up the comfortability of being in South Carolina, being close to Christy. And to be honest, at times it's been difficult. I love you guys. I love being at church. But it's been hard getting involved in community and just knowing where things are. But you guys have been so gracious to me. And I'm like, Lord, what if we never grow? And it reminded me, Matt, he's like, I'm in charge. You keep chugging along. And I'm committed to help you guys grow. So thank you for being committed to helping me grow as well. So back to the sermon. We all have a duty to make disciples, and this requires the risk of making an effort of making disciples, even when we don't see fruit of laboring right away. We know from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, that God's word won't return void. Specifically, a text says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and the achievement of the purpose for which I sent it. Though we may not know the impact of our witness to our friends or our family right now, or nor see the signs of becoming believers, we don't know what God is going to do through them or through us. This verse is something to cling on, that no matter what the outcome is, of ministering to people or preaching the gospel, his word will return full, not void. Meaning some people will hear the gospel and make the decision to become a Christian. Praise God for that, and let us be encouraged by this. That no matter how big or small a contribution that we make to the kingdom, God will honor it in some way, shape, or form. We just have to be faithful. Our next takeaway from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1 through 6, is do not let fear keep you from making a risk for the kingdom. Ecclesiastes 11, chapter 11, verse 3 through 4 says, when the clouds are full, the empty rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the north or south, there will lie. Whoever watches the wind will not sow. Whoever watches the clouds will not reap. In verses 3 through 4, King Solomon is using a metaphor of known facts. We know that a tree falls, but we don't worry about where it falls in the forest. Why? Because no one really cares. we often can't hear it or see them fall in the woods, so why should we worry about putting effort into worrying about it? The same goes for the next verse. When a farmer knows for certain that a snowstorm or rain might damage a crop or impede a harvest, they might choose to forego a planting season. But why? Farmers plant because we need food. They need food, and that's their livelihood. So why worry about it? A farmer who worries about the harvest because a little crop is not worried about their diligent harvest. They work diligently for the outcome. The point that King Solomon is making here, according to Pastor John MacArthur, is that the world is full of things which we have no control over, including the purposes of God, the will of God. There's no virtue in wishful wondering, but there's hope for those who get busy and do work. The Christian life is no different, especially when the outcomes of making disciples. Does it truly make a difference if I share the gospel? What if people reject me or I don't have the right words to say? All of these thoughts often derail us from great ministry God wants us to be a part of. I think the biggest fear that we all face today is rejection. Innately, we all want to feel appreciated, valued, and loved. This is how God made us. However, we often think that the outcome of the risk is going to be a bad thing. We often think the risk is too great because we like being comfortable, like being in our nice little neat box. I too like being comfortable where God has put me. But this is not where we're called to be. We're to go to the lost sheep of the world and to share the gospel of Christ. This means risking popularity, being persecuted, and perhaps being different. Or perhaps today you're worried about the words you might share in sharing the gospel or having a neat packaged spiel of how to share your faith. There's no formula that will save souls, no matter how hard we try, especially if it's some crusty rehearsed speech. I'm not saying the Romans Road is a bad thing or other evangelism strategies like the Navigators are bad. It's just that sometimes people aren't likely to come to faith because of some rehearsed thing. They want genuine. Today, young people want genuine life change. They want to see that in you. People want authenticity. They want to see how Jesus changed our life and how he's made us into a new person. Our greatest testimony of the Lord's working in our life is often being an example to Christ to other people, not by elegant speech, by living out Christ's commands daily in our lives. This is often done through our actions, especially in how we love and treat one another. You know, I'm looking in our world today, and you know, a lot of people face brokenness of different kinds. We're facing a lot of, you know, challenges with the LGBTQ community, BLM, and all this stuff. It comes down to loving people. You know, and we all can disagree with all that, but we need to love people. Christ called us to love. And hopefully that through our actions and our difference that we make in their lives, they'll wonder why they live a broken life. We know from John chapter 13, verse 35, that the Apostle John wrote, "By this, everyone know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Well, it's good to have strategies and something prepared to share with unbelievers. It needs to be done out of love and genuineness. This is the point I'm trying to get at. So don't worry about what right words you have to say or how articulate you are about your faith. The Holy Spirit will help you. You're set to be faithful witnessing. Take Moses, for example. I love Moses. Moses was not the best speaker, and I know I'm not the best speaker. I'm growing. But Moses complained to the Lord in Exodus, and we know that the Lord used Moses, and he couldn't speak really well. And so part of this was realizing that Moses couldn't lead the Hebrew nation. He was just so in shock that he was called to lead thousands of people. And he was right. He couldn't do it without God's help. So we are just like him in the sense that we can't share the gospel out of our own power. And we can't merely just utter words. It has to come out of a changed heart that we experience through our walk with the Lord. So what is holding you back today from investing in the kingdom? Is it fear of popularity? Is it fear of rejection? Or is it fear of persecution? I mean, I know the last one is a challenge for us today. We all think, you know, someone says something negative about us, it's persecution. And it is, to a degree. But I think about my friends I know who are missionaries overseas, or the Thompsons, or other missionaries I've known. They face real persecution. In the United States, we're blessed to have freedom of religion, to be able to worship freely, but they don't. So what's cherished at today? That though we may face persecution of someone losing your friend, I mean, it's sad to lose a friend, but it's not like they're taking your life. So just think about that today. Now, though taking risks involves hard work and sharing our faith with difficult people, this will pay off and God will honor our faithfulness. This brings me to my third and final point. By procrastinating and not investing in the kingdom, we'll miss out on what God wants to do in us and through our world. King Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 6, "Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle. For you do not know what will succeed, whether this or that, whether both will do equally well." Since we don't know what God's will is, we must proceed in life with taking a faith-filled risk. Here, King Solomon implies that a farmer ought to sow his seed in the morning and not be a bystander. The farmer must be proactive in planning because he does not know what the outcome will be. If it will be a bountiful harvest, or the crops could shrivel up due to a drought and die, and therefore no harvest. The main point King Solomon is making here is that we need to be proactive in life and not wait for things to happen. because we don't know the outcomes of life. Only God does. This goes for investing in the kingdom of God, making faith-filled risks. If we just sit back and try to armchair quarterback evangelism, there goes the path, or not sharing our faith and leaving it all up to God, we are seriously misunderstanding Scripture and our purposes as God's disciples. By doing this, we will also be missing out with what God intends to do. Taking risks are difficult because we don't know the outcome often. Only God does. What if we are called to be radically different and take faith-filled risks and not wait idly by for the Lord to do the work? What if God wants us to think creatively and strategically to reach our neighbors who don't know Christ? Last week, I and Mike went up to Bakerstown Alliance Church, and that's towards Cranberry, and I was just blown away. That church is smaller than us, and they're having a carnival. They're reaching the community. There's about 300 some people there on Saturday, and I was there, and Dave Lawford was there, and you know, a bunch of the Alliance people were there. But I was just blown away how a small church could have a community carnival. They had like five food trucks. They had a band. We have a band. We could sing. But it was just kind of cool that they took a faith-filled risk. They didn't know that they'd bring people, but God blessed that, and they honored that. It was just kind of cool to see, example of what I'm preaching on, come to life. But that heart of that church is to reach the lost, just like ours. You know, our heart as a denomination is that we desire to see all lost people come to know the Lord. But if we're not making risks like that, or even doing the VBS, we don't know if people are going to come. So therefore, we need to try. Reality is, as a church, we're called to be radically different than our world, and we're supposed to stand out. So how can we get off the sidelines and understand where and God wants us? First, it starts with understanding our calling as his disciples, and where he's placed us, and understanding where he wants to use us. As I mentioned earlier in an earlier sermon, we all have a role to play in rescuing lost souls. We just have to look for the right opportunities to get plugged into. Guys, I took a huge risk on coaching this year. Though I played football, I haven't been involved in an actual game in 5 years. And at first, Dave Patton asked, he's like, "Matt, you want to be a head coach?" I'm like, "There's no way. I'm leading a new church. I'm about to get married. I got about 1,000 things on my plate right now and finishing up school." But I took a risk to coach. Why? Because I want to see lives change. I want to see people come to the Lord. I took a risk because I care about the kids not knowing the Lord, and I want them to experience the same joy that you and I have in Christ. If I did not do this, I didn't do this because it's fun. I mean, I love football, but coaching is not fun. It's not. It's fun in a different sense, but there are times where kids test your patience. Can't wait to be a dad. But I did this because I recognize a need for our community, a need that young men desperately need to know God. Through godly leaders. Oftentimes, you look at our world, I forget the stat, but I think it's out of every two households, there's no father figure present, which is really sad. In a world where broken homes and dads, no longer the center of a household, I decided to man up and be Jesus to these kids, because I may be the only example of a godly man or Christ they see in this life. This might be you today. Maybe God has placed some awesome ministry on your heart. Perhaps what is holding you back today is the outcome or fear of rejection or fear of failure. That's a mouthful. Today, let us surrender those fears and allow the Holy Spirit to do a tremendous work in us and be a blessing to our community. Perhaps you're called to lead a young adult ministry. We now have 6 young adults who would love to have someone mentor them, help them grow in their faith. Or perhaps start a senior luncheon and minister our seasoned saints. Or perhaps start a youth ministry. Guys, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. So if we're ready to get going to grow as a church, we need everyone's involvement, not just Pastor Matt or the leadership team. I cannot grow this church out of my own effort. It's only through God's leading and our faithfulness that serving him that he will grow our church. Everyone is called to take faith-filled risks. We all have a part, so let us make today the day we get off the sidelines, begin to see God do great things in our community. Risks are scary, but with the Lord's help, we can overcome this fear. A great preacher, Martin Luther, once said, "Faith is a living and unshakable confidence, a belief in God so assured that a man would die 1,000 deaths for its sake." Martin Luther took a risk and started the Protestant Reformation because the Catholic Church, were abusing the teaching of the whole counsel of God. They were picking and choosing what to teach on, and particularly their teaching that you didn't need to go, to Christ for forgiveness. You go to a priest and pay your sins. So in 1517, actually on Halloween 1517, Martin Luther, fed up with the Catholic Church, wrote a document called the 95 Theses and pinned it to the Wittenberg Cathedral in Germany. He wrote what needed to be changed in the Catholic Church and how to get back to biblical teaching. What happened next was truly amazing. Though Luther took the risk of being excommunicated, which means kicked out of the church, he started a movement that reformed the church to get back to correct biblical teaching. And we can thank Martin Luther that for doing so, because we wouldn't be here as a denomination. Without Luther taking a risk 504 years ago, we'd not be here as an evangelical church or even the CMA today. So like Luther, what risk is God calling you to today? I'd love to hear what is on your heart and how I can equip you to step out in faith and make disciples. As we close, let us ponder what faith-filled risks God wants us to make and how he might use us in Butler to grow his kingdom. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you give us the love to love difficult people. God, that we were once a difficult person, but Lord, you broke our hard hearts. And Lord, I'm thankful that your truth can rescue anyone, Lord, that no one's too far gone from you. And Lord, we all know people in our lives or families or workplaces that are hardened to you for some shape or reason. And we know a lot of people have grown up in church, but they were abused by people. They're abused by pastors or just people that had well intentions but were living in sin and therefore led them astray. Lord, we know that families are broken, Lord. We know that just our world is falling apart because you're not at the center, Lord. I love that one song that says, Jesus is at the center of it all. You are, Lord. You, even when our world's falling apart, when there's nothing good in us, Lord, you still are true, you're still alive, and you're still good for us. And God, I pray that we would be that light to our community, Lord, that people would see Crossman's Alliance not just as a church, but as a body of believers that actually care about our community, that love you, Lord. And I pray today would be the day that we commit our life to you, Lord, if we've not done so, Lord, that we make today a commitment of the church to be a beacon of your hope. Lord, I know that we're small, but we're mighty in you. And God, I pray that you bless us in all things, Lord. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.